title of my message this morning is, what does it mean to fast? I'm not saying that you're really fast. You're not a speedy person. It's something, it's a biblical term, fasting. If you weren't in church last week, we talked about fasting as well last week. If you're a visitor, or maybe you come to Monster Rock Assembly in the last year, like, what is fasting? Why are you doing this? Every year, at the first of the year, it's good to start new things. We have New Year's resolutions. We want to start our weeks out right. We want to start our months out right. We want to start our years out right. And for the Christian, other churches have done this, and I got this from a pastor. His name is Jensen Franklin, probably 10 or 12 years ago. He's talking about fasting and why it's important in his life and how it's benefited him. And I thought, you know what? I should probably do this. And so that's why we fast as a church. Every single year, for those who want to participate, my goal and my prayer is that everyone participates. It's called a corporate fast, and I'll get into that in a moment. But it's an important part of our lives. It is a spiritual discipline that has been forgotten, and it is so beneficial to you personally, to the church, to the community. We'll get into more of that in a moment. But here's the thing. Like, I've talked to some people about fasting. Like, hey, you're going to fast, and they go, I'm not going to do that. Go without food? No way. You're crazy. That's an Old Testament type of thing. I'm a New Testament Christian. No, it's New Testament as well. But there's something about fasting that instantly makes me just cringe. I hate it. I don't like doing it. Okay? My flesh does not like fasting.
That's right.
But we'll get more into that in a moment. But it is important. And it is important for the believer, for the Christian, to have dominion over their body and over this world. Fasting, in my opinion, well, and scripturally, is the fastest way to see this happen. So, fasting is both personal and it's corporate. You can fast by yourself throughout the year. And you can also say, okay, the pastor's calling us to fast. I'm going to fast with the church corporately. In Joel chapter 2, verse 15 through 17 in the King James, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. It's going pretty broad here. It's just this, lots of people. Gather the children, the nursing babies. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. So there's like no exceptions. When a corporate fast is called, then this is the nation of Israel calling the nation to fasting. Now, obviously, it'd be really cool if our nation fasted and prayed from the White House down. But right now, we're kind of like, you know, we're a group, an assembly as the church. Amen. Let the priest who ministers to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? You see, God is saying that fasting is so important that it's something that it should be collectively done at times. That it doesn't only mean food, but also even activities. That, okay, you just got married. You want to go on your honeymoon. You want to go have all this fun. But you should fast, even in that. Even children, the elderly, the pastor, everybody should fast. Nobody is exempt from this. Because God is not a respecter of persons. Even when it comes to fasting. But we have a choice. Do I want to be a part of it? Do I want to see this growth in my life and drawing closer to God and maybe see things take place that wouldn't otherwise? Or do I want to keep going at the status quo? The same old, same old. So I don't necessarily have points this morning, but I have scriptures and then thoughts. So I'm going to start with my thoughts and then go from there. My first thought is this. Fasting affects your physical body. No brainer, right? This is the main reason why people don't want to do it. Am I right? So I started fasting on Thursday night, whatever. Last time I had a meal was Thursday night. And the first 24 hours is horrible. I never like it. And I was talking to Tara about it yesterday. I said, you know what, after the first day and a half or so, you start getting better. Now, I'll talk about different ways to fast. I just fast with water. Drink a lot of water, about a gallon and a half a day. And I'll do that for an amount of time, and then I'll change it up as it goes on. And I'll get more into that in a moment, because it's important to have a plan of how you're going to fast. You just don't say, oh, I'm just going to do it now. I'll fast today, I'll fast tomorrow. No, know what you're going to do. But here's the thing. It affects your physical body. Psalm 109, verse 24. It says, my knees are weak through fasting, and my flesh is feeble from lack of fatness. This will happen when you fast. Your knees are going to get weak. Your flesh is going to be feeble. You will feel this. But there's a reason why. I was going through my sermon. This is just an extra note. I'm not saying to be like how some religions like whip their bodies and do all this crazy stuff to show that their body's not in control of them. That's not fasting. There's such a greater dynamic. It's not just making your body suffer. There's more to it. But a byproduct will be your body will suffer. You will be weak from it. Why did this happen to the guy in Psalms? Is because of the length of his fast. You know, you can skip a meal and be okay, right? Yeah. Honestly, if I have coffee in the morning, I can go all day. But there's something about the length of this. So consider that. He lost weight. He lost strength because of fasting. Fasting affected his physical body. Here's another one. Fasting is dedicating your desires to God. It says in chapter 9, verse 2, during the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, learned from reading the word of the Lord, as revealed to Jeremiah the prophet, that Jerusalem must lie desolate for 70 years. So something happened that really upset Daniel to where he thought, I need to do something about this. It bothered his soul and his heart that Israel was going to suffer. And so in doing so, verse 3, so I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. I also wore rough burlap and sprinkled myself with ashes. Now, I'm not saying that you have to go and wear burlap and cover yourself with ashes. This was something that Israel did to show signs of repentance or remorse or mourning. I don't know what burlap is. Let's just say a gunny sack. You ever touch a gunny sack? What's it feel like? It's rough. It's coarse. It's just... So something like that is what he'd put on something rough and coarse like that, and then again sprinkling ashes over their head. That was a symbol, symbolized their time of mourning. But what it was is he had nothing desirable or pleasurable. So there's something about when we fast that we're dedicating our desires to the Lord. And so think of it this way: it's to where you just don't not eat, but you try to have all your desires towards God. And so for me, my thought is this. Well, if I want my desires to be towards God, that means the desires that I want for me, I need to abstain from for some time. Yep. For Daniel, this went beyond food. It went to, for him, it was wearing pleasurable clothing. It's things that felt good on his skin. He put on burlap, didn't feel good to his skin. Again, he didn't have TV to turn on. He didn't have Facebook. He didn't have, you know, all these different pleasures. His pleasure was what he was wearing. So for him, it was his clothing. What could it be for you? Daniel completely abandoned himself to personal pleasure. And in this is a sign of total surrender of his body to God. That's what it was. It's like, Lord, I am surrendering my physical body to you. When you're fasting, that's what you're doing. Lord, I am surrendering my appetite, that which sustains my body, to you, and I'm trusting in you in place of that. Joel chapter 2 verse 12, it says, now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with your whole heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. I've fasted before and I've just skipped meals. I've skipped meals for a lot of time and kept on watching TV, kept on doing the things that I enjoyed and the fun, and I don't really feel like I reap the full benefit of it. This year especially, after reading last week in Daniel chapter 10 about not eating pleasant foods, I'm thinking, man, so much of my fasting, it's not just not eating food, it's denying my flesh, my physical body, pleasure and desires because I want to desire God more. It's the attitude of this. Fasting is your ability to abstain from physical pleasures, food, TV, social media, even hanging out with friends. Whatever it is that's so pleasurable to your flesh that you have to make it, you want God to become that for you. However, Fasting is also, well, you get with this, but it's also a heart issue. In Isaiah chapter 58, verse 3, it says, "We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We've been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice." Okay, so it sounds like they're hitting the check marks, right? They're fasting, they're being hard on themselves, they're doing all these things, but it's saying that God doesn't even notice that they're doing it. I will tell you why I respond. It's because you are fasting to please yourselves. So you can actually deny yourselves, but still be doing it for your own pleasure. That's kind of an oxymoron, but it's more so it's the pride part. Now, I didn't tell you, oh, I started fasting on Thursday to get, ooh, look at the pastor fasting. It's not that at all. I hope you don't receive that from that. We don't fast so that everybody can just, oh, look at how holy he is. Man, he must be really close to God because he fasted. That's not the purpose. And if that's, and now you can't keep other people from thinking that, but if that's your attitude, God's not even going to hear you in that. Verse 4, what good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? In the Hebrew, those words, it means contentions, debating, picking a fight, arguing for the sake of arguing. This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourself with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? So again, it's not just the actions, but it's also the attitude that we have towards God. Again, if your desire is, God, I just want to be closer to you, and I will show you how much I want to be close to you by denying my physical self, that means something. But if you're doing these things in order so other people can see that, again, you're trying to please yourself in some way, shape, or form. From this text, we can see you can be in a fast and God still will not hear you. Because in your heart, if you're like these people in Isaiah 58, you're not completely surrendered to God. Fasting is a surrendering of yourself to him. I don't know how many times in the Bible it says, obedience is better than sacrifice. And obedience is about an attitude. I don't obey God because I have to. I obey God because I want to. I want to be closer to him. However, if you keep the same attitude, the same habits, and not make a change during a fast, really all you're doing is dieting. Yeah, that might help your physical body, but the whole point is, again, is to not focus on your physical body. Fasting means that you change your life so that you can get closer to God. That's the motivation. That's the heart attitude that we should have in this. Here's another thought. So fasting again, you are to dedicate your time to God. This is the biggest struggle for me. It is amazing how much of my time is consumed with food. I'll get more into that later, but fasting, you're dedicating your time to God. You're not just going without a meal, you are actually giving time to him. I have a lot of thoughts here. Let me keep going down. I said, you know, hey, are you going to fast? And people are like, no. And it's interesting how a lot of times there's some people in church will say, well, I'm a New Testament Christian, or I'm an old, I mean, they put these distinctions on what they'll accept or not accept. Well, so if you are an Old Testament Christian or a New Testament Christian, fasting is for you. Yeah, it's all throughout the Old Testament, and Jesus also fasted. It says in John chapter 13, verse 15, it says, I have given you an example to follow, do as I have done. That's Jesus' words. So everything that Jesus did in his time here on earth was not only to show the world that he is the Messiah, but also show us how we are to engage with the world and with God. He's our example. That's why, like last week when we had water baptisms, we get baptized because Jesus got baptized. He even said, I do this because this is required of me. And now in John chapter 13, he is saying, I am giving you an example of how you are to live your life. Well, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 2, this is where Jesus goes in the wilderness. It says, for 40 days and nights, he fasted. And after that, he hungered. So Jesus fasted as well. What I have noticed about fasting, and I've always said this, is I get really, really hungry. But I was reading some commentary and some people talking about fasting. They actually mentioned Jesus and his 40 days in the wilderness. And they said, you know, it says that for 40 days a night he went without food and then he hungered. And there's an interesting thing that someone said. They said, you have more cravings and habit pains than true hunger pains. And that's really what it is. You have way more hunger pains, habit pains. It's amazing how habitually I eat. It's 12 o'clock. Oh, I got to go eat. It's because it's ingrained into me. It's amazing. So last night I was making the girls dinner, and Avery had some kind of queso nacho thing. Saturday nights is not like a sit-down dinner night. It's like whatever you can get because church is the next day. But Claire's like, Dad, I want pancakes. And I was like, okay. So I made her a little thing of pancake, and then I said, you know what's really good with the pancake? I said, take a fried egg and put that in the middle of it, break the yolk, it goes all through, then put your syrup on top of that. She's like, oh, that just sounds gross. And I was like, no, this is what you're going to eat because this is what I'm craving right now. And so I did that, and I put it all cut up, and I put it on her plate. I said, try this, Claire. I felt like the guy in Pirates of the Caribbean, like, eat the apple next, you know? And I was like, just eat this, Claire. And she's like, oh, this is so good. And I was like, oh, I want it so bad. I mean, I had a little bit of yolk on my thumb, and I was like, oh, and I washed my hand off because it's amazing how much of it is not hunger pains, but craving pains. And so I just fill myself with water, and I'm okay. But think about that. Again, going back to that Isaiah verse, now here in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled, so people will, disheveled, whatever, so that people, okay, now I've lost my place. It is disheveled. I missed the S. There should be two S's, disheveled. Okay, so people will admire them for their fasting. So that's what they were talking about in Isaiah. Look at me, look at what I'm doing. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face, then no one will notice that you're fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. Here's the key, there is a reward to fasting. Amen. Yes. If the desire is to draw closer to God, then that's what you're going to get from that. If your desire is that people see you're doing it, you're going to get that reward too. But that's all you're going to get. That's all it's saying there. Fasting means you clean yourself up. You take care of your kids. You take care of your family. You look good, but you're fasting for God. I'm not going to tell my kids, oh, I'm fasting, so we're not going to make dinner tonight. No, you still have, and that's honestly, that's what makes it more difficult because you got food all around you. But you still have to take care of what you have to take care of in life. But you're trusting in the Lord. Fasting offers, another point, fasting offers tremendous physical, emotional, spiritual, and like Jody said, psychological benefits. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, there's a king, his name is Jehoshaphat. I got that one right. And he is concerned, actually he's not concerned, he knows there is warring armies and nations coming against Israel, and they're going to decimate them. They're going to wipe them out. And so in his response to this hard time coming, he calls the people to a fast. And in verse 3 it says, Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. So many times, I mean, honestly, right now, fasting every year for me, the primary reason is I want to draw closer to God, but I want guidance. I want guidance for 2020. I want to know what God has in store for me. I want to make sure I'm taking his steps. It's a huge part for me, and you'll find that in fasting often. People want guidance because there's trouble coming. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So again, a corporate fast was called. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Now as a result of this, God spoke to them. And what happened was this. These nations that were coming against Israel, these warring armies, God said, go out and fight them, to Jehoshaphat. And it says that as they went out worshiping and coming to fight this battle, they started to fight amongst themselves. And basically, before they even came to them, the battle was already won. Because these opposing armies, or these armies opposing Israel, opposed themselves and decimated themselves. It says, as you go down in that chapter, it says, God gave Jehoshaphat rest. It says, I'll give you rest on every side. I mean, think about that. Not just rest for sleep, but rest in front of you, rest behind you, rest to your right, rest to your left. So he gave him rest, and it says that he picked up the blessings or the spoils of these armies for 4 days. So because Jehoshaphat wanted God's guidance and he fasted and called the nation to fasting, God gave him rest and peace everywhere he was and gave him blessings everywhere he went. This came because of fasting. They were stressed out, fearful, not knowing what to do, uncertain. So what did they do? They fasted. Everybody stopped eating food and they fasted. It was a time dedicated to seeking the face of God. Next thought. When you obey God, you can expect His promises to... Well, I just put expect His promises, but add to that, you can expect His promises to take place in your life. When you obey God and fast, you can expect this to take place. If you don't expect it. We can't just read about God's promises, but then not take the action required on our part to see some of these take place. In Acts chapter 13, God called Paul into ministry. You can find that when you fast, God can call you to a purpose. He can call you to a ministry. He can call you to something that He wants you to do in your life that will bring not only the fulfillment of what He wants, but fulfillment in your life. So many times you wonder, what am I supposed to do with my life? What can I do next? Fasting can bring you into that place. It says in, I'm not going to read verse 1, we'll read verse 2. It's the name of the people who were there with him. It says in verse 2 of Acts 13, one day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them away. So God gave Paul and Barnabas an assignment because of worship and fasting and prayer. And again, this is in a corporate setting. There's more than just one of them doing this. This was the fast that propelled Paul into the church. Believe it or not, many of us, we probably wouldn't be here had Paul not done what he had done as a minister and as a missionary. When you fast, God is going to speak into your life. Literally, it's a prophetic voice. This is part of the church. I mean, prophecy is part of the church. I mean, read Acts chapter 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, and prophecy is part of that. And part of that is receiving prophetic words unto yourself. And you get this through fasting. This is what happened. He was given a commission from this. God's voice, when you fast, becomes clearer, louder. You see, God is always speaking. I promise you right now, God is. If you're a Christian, God is speaking to you. He's wanting to speak into your life. But so often we are so confused and distracted and cluttered that we can't hear Him speaking. Fasting will take care of that. All the stuff that's been blocking His voice gets out of the way when you fast. Acts chapter 14, it says, Paul and Barnabas also appointed elders in every church. What? With prayer and fasting. They turned the elders over to the care of the Lord in whom they had put their trust. So every assignment, not just for the apostle Paul and his helper Barnabas, but people within the church as well, through prayer and fasting, they were appointed positions and put into places that God had for them to be in. You see, fasting prepares you for activity with God. Amen. And if you're not going to be active with God, why be a Christian? Fire insurance? That's what it is a lot of places. I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to be on Jesus' side. But God has more for you than that. Amen. There's another fast that takes place in the book of Esther, where Esther and the Israelites are about to be destroyed because of Haman. And Mordecai comes to Esther and he says, you need to go to the king. And on our behalf, say, hey, don't kill us all. And Esther says, I'm not going to go to the king until all of us pray and fast. And says for 3 days, they didn't eat or drink. Nothing for 3 days. And that's what prepared her to come into the presence of the king.
Amen. That's right.
Fasting puts you in a position of favor. You may think, why doesn't anything ever go right for me? My boss hates me. None of this ever works. All that stuff. Fast and pray. You can position yourself for favor. You can position yourself for promotion. Fasting brought her favor. Fasting is what made her bold to where she could actually come before him and share her case and save Israel.
Amen, that's right.
Okay, so what is fasting? A couple things here. Number one, fasting is the willful abstaining from natural pleasures for a spiritual purpose. We talked about this last week, how you have to... my mind is a little cloudy there. Listen to last week's sermon. But again, abstaining from a physical pleasure for a spiritual purpose. I'm going to abstain from food and from pleasures that gratify my flesh or my body, my natural being, in hopes of and desires of drawing closer to God. What I find is this. My will, my desires, says, don't do it. Anybody else ever have that? Seriously, no way. I'm not doing that. But this is what fasting is. Second, fasting is a personal commitment to withhold the physical to promote the spiritual. This is what's taking place. I will withhold this part in my life. I will abstain from food in order to promote the growth of the spiritual or God in my life. It's you deciding to tell the natural that the spiritual things, the spiritual realm is more important in your life than what's going on around you. And we do this by fasting. This is one of the other things I got from this week, but this statement says, no one can walk spiritually at a high level if they allow the natural to rule their lives. If you want to be close to God, it doesn't come through the natural world. It doesn't come from being ruled by secret sins or appetites or habits. Those things have to be broken off your life. If you want to be closer to God, something has to give. Think about this. You're not a body that has a soul and a spirit living inside of it. You are a soul with the Spirit of Christ inside of a body. Which one's the master? Who's winning? It says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. This is it in a nutshell right here. You have two things fighting against each other, the physical, natural world, and the spiritual. The Holy Spirit living inside of you, trying to have control over your mind, your will, and your emotions, which is your soul, and your physical body trying to have control of your mind, your will, and your emotions, which is your soul. Who is going to win? You've heard the saying, whatever you feed the most, that's what wins. So in fasting, I'm not feeding the body. Three, fasting is the dedication to a period of time to devote yourself to seek the spiritual priorities of God without food. It's interesting. Church has changed this. Now, do not hear judgment or condemnation from me. Don't hear stringent, hard things. But the Bible is pretty clear.
Yes.
Fasting is food. You be the one that determines that. Before I said, make a plan. Tara and I were talking about this last night. I said, you need to pray and seek God. Say, God, what do you want me to fast? Not body, what are you willing to give up, body? But God, what is the sacrifice? What is the desires that keep me from being closer to you? For 99.99999999% of us, it's food. In some way, some shape, it has to be food. And for me, and I don't want to say just for me, but it can't just be a meal. We can skip a meal. It has to be a period of time. You can look through different health benefits and go through websites. They say the shortest fast is usually 12 hours. Try 12 hours. It's not as easy as you may think. But this is what fasting is. In some cases, with Jesus in the desert for 40 days, it was water. For Esther, it was no food and no water. And now, let me caution you on this. I'll just say, don't do that. you need to drink something. Stay hydrated, especially if you've never fasted before. Even be very careful what you go into. Come and talk to me about it. It may be just doing maybe 12 hours a couple times a week throughout these 21 days. It may be doing a Daniel fast. I'll get more to that in a moment. But drink water. Drink lots of water or fluid of some sort if you fast. With Daniel, it was no pleasant foods for 21 days. Ezekiel, go get a bunch of Ezekiel bread and eat that for 3 days. Try it. It's not that easy. Ezekiel bread and water, 3 days. Does everybody know what Ezekiel bread is? Go to the health food store. Go to Walmart, has it. So in the book of Ezekiel, God called him to a fast. He's getting ready to prophesy to the nation of Israel. And he says, okay, you're to only eat like millet, some kind of sprouts, some kind of other thing and another thing. And one of them, I don't know what it means, but basically there's like 4 or 5 ingredients all mashed up, put together with water and turned into bread. And so he ate that in preparation for his fast. So there's the Ezekiel fast, there's the Daniel fast, there's the water fast, there's the Esther fast with nothing. But there's some sort of fast, and it's interesting, they're all with food. Your stomach is your greatest controller in your life. Think about it. My stomach tells me more what to do than my wife does. obviously I'm not getting wisdom in my fasting. But seriously, take some time and think about how much of your life surrounds this area right here. So much, your time, your finances, all the stuff around the belly. It's a powerful controller. But if you can tame your belly, you can tame the natural. You can tame the physical. One of the greatest things that I have found from fasting in times past is that my thought is like, man, if I can go without food for 10 days and just drink water, I can do anything. Nothing is too big for me. Bad habits, I can break those. If I can go without food for this long, and it happens. So what's required for fasting? It's not just a meal. I've said that before. You can't say, oh man, I forgot to eat lunch today. Well, I'm going to fast that meal. That's not fasting. You just forgot to eat. You prepare to fast. You don't forget to eat. You prepare to fast. Make a plan. And this is where I'd say right now, sit down, prayerfully seek the Lord and say, God, I want to fast food. I want to fast the way you say to fast. Maybe you've never done it before, but get some direction from him. Make a plan. And I'd say make a 21-day plan. From now until the 26th, fast. Fasting is not a diet. You will lose weight. It is a benefit of fasting. But that's not the purpose. If that's what you're doing it for, that's the wrong reason. And the focus is on food, again, rather than God. And I've done, not that I've wanted to lose weight, but I've gone into a fast knowing that I'm going to lose weight. And so I've taken a lot of time thinking about the weight I'm losing rather than focusing on God, where my focus should be. So my focus has really even just been on my physical being rather than, again, spiritual. Another one, fasting demands that you replace your meals with the reading of God's word and prayer. A lot of it. Think about this. How much time do you take to prepare a meal? It may take a half hour to 45 minutes to make something. But then what about the time you had to go down to Walmart or all the way to Costco and buy your food, put your food away, do all these things? You could spend 2 or 3 hours preparing a meal, possibly. How would it be if you took that time to pray, to read large amounts of the Word of God, to meditate on His Word? You see, we replace food time with God time. That's a good one. Write it down. That's mine. We replace food time with God time. It can't be this. And you're like, oh, I'm going to fast today. Oh, it's lunchtime. Well, I'm going to go run all these errands. And then go back about your day. No. Again, you just skipped a meal. You have to take focused time on the Lord. I could go run errands. I could go do this. But no, this is God time. It's not food time. It's not my time. It's not errand time. It's God time. You dedicate time for meditation. People say, well, okay, what's the difference between prayer and meditation? Prayer is speaking to God. Meditation is hearing from God. So it's my favorite time of fasting is when I've read the word, I've prayed, and then I just sit there and I just rest in his presence and say, God, I am open to hear from you. And that's part of where I think with Jehoshaphat is that he had rest on his left, his right, in front of him, behind him. But you meditate, you don't necessarily empty your mind. You focus your mind on the Lord, amen, expecting to hear from him. That's biblical meditation. I already said spending much time in the word. Okay, here's some of the effects of fasting. Not the physical effects, but here's the spiritual effects. When you fast, it changes us. You will be changed when you fast. You will not be the same as when you started, when you complete it. Because it's not for God, it's for us. We want us to change. God doesn't change, we change. In fact, fasting does not move God, but it gives us the capacity for God to move inside of us more. There's only so much room in our lives, right? We only have so much time. And a lot of times, well, God, you only have this little window. So better get her done or move on. Fasting changes that dynamic. It's for us. It moves us. Fasting also increases your spiritual capacity. You have room for more because you have less of the physical in you. You understand the physical and the natural, the physical and the supernatural are always fighting for space in your life. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. He says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. He says he disciplines his body, making room for spiritual capacity so that he can be closer to God and not be disqualified when it comes down to the end of it. There's only so much room. When you fast, your capacity expands. Your stomach may shrink, but your spirit will grow. Fasting changes habits, and it breaks spiritual bondages. We all have desires in our life. The primary focus of desires comes from three places: what we drink, what we eat, and sex. If you see every stronghold in life, they come from these three places. I have found nothing good that comes from alcohol, but people can be addicted to it and they drink it. Destroys families, does all these things, but people have an appetite for that. Some people have an appetite for food. Others, you can see, they have an appetite for sex. Look what these three things have done to destroy humanity. People get hooked. You have to fight all of these things by God's grace. Amen. And when Jesus said, some of these things only come out by prayer and fasting, drink, food, and sex, having those be bondages or bad habits in your life, those are only broken by fasting and prayer, in my opinion. Another benefit of fasting, it quiets your heart to hear from God. We talked about that a little bit earlier. But your body will fight, maybe it's just me, but my body literally fights the spiritual. Sometimes I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to pray. You know what that is inside of me? That's my body is saying that. It's not my spirit. My spirit wants to draw closer to God. It wants to pray. It wants to read the word. But I find that my flesh fights it. When you fast, you can quiet yourself down to where you can hear God speak, and it's exciting. Romans chapter 7, verse 24 says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? This is Paul talking about how sin has had dominion in his life. And the one who delivers us from that body of death is God. But sometimes I need to hear where he wants me to go. Fasting will help you in this. You see, when your body is defeated, it becomes quiet. Any foe that's defeated, they're quiet, right? Anybody like to watch UFC fighting? The guy that gets choked out, he's not making any noise, is he? He's laying there limp on the mat. Any defeated foe is quiet. When you fast, your body is defeated and it'll be quiet and you'll be able to hear from God. Fasting, what it literally does is it puts your life back into balance, where your spirit is in control, where the spirit of God is in control, and your flesh is not. It draws us to God. Okay, this is my last point, is this. Fasting brings closeness with God. And this is the primary thing that we want. We want to be close to God. There's not a single Christian I've ever spoken to that has not in some way portrayed the desire to be close to God, to hear from God, to understand His Word more, to be able to, oh man, I wish I could pray like so-and-so. Well, I wish I could worship like so-and-so. All this because I want to be close to God. Fasting brings us close to God. It draws us to God and makes us love God's presence. Some of us have difficulty worshiping or reading the Bible or coming to church or praying or being a part of ministry. It's because our bodies, our physical bodies, rule our lives. We don't want to be close to God. I've been in these places. I've been in the place where I don't want to be in church, or I don't want to do this. And I've had to say, okay, obviously there's something that's too large in my life that shouldn't be here. How am I going to get this back under control? I have to get my body, my physical body under control, and I'm going to fast. I will tell you, body, you will not rule me. And so I fast. It brings things back into balance. So I'm done with that. I'm going to turn this off.